Improv, it's the Nighttime Show. With us as always, our head writer, Matt Walker. I'm the voice of the Nighttime Show, Mike Black. And today we have a legendary guest. The drummer from Motley Crue, you've seen his story in the dirt and behind the music. He has a new album coming soon, heavy metal god, Tommy Lee. And now, he's the one who makes you feel all right as long as you're feeling that way about donuts, Stephen Kramer Glickman!
Nice job. Nice job, Mike.
He was never caught smoking in the boys' room, Stephen.
No.
Never was.
But I am a fan of girls.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. That is, this is very exciting. This is a big one.
I can't wait.
Oh yeah! Come on, that's I can't believe that we have him on the show today.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's a big deal.
Like, it is really a big deal.
Dating back to like junior high, I remember like watching the videos and he's in the cage spinning around, and it's just so cool.
Yeah,
that guy does a lot of living for a lot of people.
Yes,
he really does.
Shut-ins in school that are like, man, I wish I was that cool.
Vicariously lived through Tommy Lee my entire life.
Yeah. What kind of music were you listening to, Mike, growing up? Like, what was your thing?
God, I really wasn't listening to music very much. If it was the soundtrack for a video game, that was pretty much the only music that I was getting. I don't know a lot.
Down to Galaga.
Yeah, don't know a lot of Motley Crue lyrics. I can hum quite a few bars of the Mortal Kombat fight intro.
But Mike, if you could do a pretty good dance if I go do 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 do. That's World 1-2.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Come on. What about you, Matt? What kind of music did you listen to growing up?
Well, I was playing in orchestras at the time, so I listened to a lot of classical music, a lot of jazz, but also...
What a fucking nerd.
But also...
Stephen, what were you listening to?
I was a fan.
Musical.
That's right.
But I would say, but also...
9,029,000.
Oh, yeah. Terrific.
I was a fan of 80s heavy metal, of which Motley Crue was a huge part, the whole glam metal scene. Motley Crue, AC/DC back at the time.
Rat, Cinderella.
All those bands,
Quiet Riot.
Skid Row, the whole deal. Yeah, Guns N' Roses when they came out.
You used to give me a lot of shit for music stuff. Like, you'd play like 5 seconds of a Led Zeppelin song and you go, who is this?
Yes.
Who is this?
It'd be more than 5 seconds.
Yeah, you'd play. Oh yeah, you'd play like the first.
We'd be listening to KLOS, listening to like some classic rock, and driving around, and I'd be like, "Oh, so who's this band? Name that band." And you'd be like, "What?" And then I'd be like, "They do it before you start singing." Then you start singing, I'm like, "Okay, fine, it's easy now. Name that band." You're like, "I still don't know.
I still don't know. I had no idea." The one band that I
just
had...
keeps guessing Foreigner.
Yeah.
Foreigner?
Foreigner? Is it Foreigner? The one band that I was like, I remember being like, where I knew their stuff, but I had never seen them in concert, was AC/DC. And then took me to that AC/DC concert.
At the Forum.
Yeah.
Which is by far the loudest concert I've ever been to in my entire life.
That's how it should be.
And I've been to a lot of Ozfests and like Knot Fests and all the heavy metal festivals and heavy metal individual shows. But that AC/DC concert I had earplugs in and it was way too loud with earplugs in.
And in turn, Stephen took you to an evening with Michael Crawford. The original Phantom of the Opera.
Slowly, deeply.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the softest concert you've ever been to.
That was not a... You're like, I wish I had not gotten my ear surgery. Yeah. Like, that was... Yeah. But, you know, with...
I thought I was auditioning for the part of Raoul, the young lover.
Well, being that we are all a couple of nerds, being able to sit down today with Tommy Lee, I'm super super excited. As like a fan of Motley Crue, but a fan, I'm a bigger fan of
you.
Him.
Should be. Me and Matt are both excited. You have no business being here.
I am very excited. All right, okay. Let's bring him on. Here we go.
All right. Hey.
Hey, how are you, man? Thank you so much for doing the show.
No worries, man. How's it going?
Really good, really good. I'm Steven, and this is Matt.
Hello, Tommy.
And then this is our announcer.
Matt. Hello, Steven.
This is our announcer, Mike Black.
Hi, nice to meet you, Tommy.
What up, Mike?
Do you like Tommy, or do you like Tommy Lee? Which do you prefer?
Tommy's cool.
Okay. Is Thomas okay? I'm just kidding.
Now, to call me Thomas, that would remind me of my mom when I did something fucked up.
Well, were you...
I would give my whole name. Michael Anthony Black, what are you doing?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I didn't get the full one. I just thought, Thomas? Uh-oh.
Yeah. You know you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, but especially if you got the full name, dude. That's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you constantly getting in trouble?
You know what? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm sitting here like in a little bit of denial, thinking, you know, I was a pretty cool kid, but I did get in a lot of trouble. Yeah,
yeah. I think both of those are true. I think you were a cool kid, most likely.
Yeah,
you're a cool adult.
Yeah. So.
That's what matters. When you're a kid, it doesn't really matter if you're cool or not. It matters now.
Yeah. You know? Yes, 100%.
Right, right. Yeah, when you're a kid, you certainly have a license to be a jerk off. That's for sure.
Yeah,
exactly.
I found two things matter when you're an adult: being cool and having a decent credit rating. Those are the real important things.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to start by talking with you about your Instagram and your social media and your TikTok and all this kind of stuff. This is all new stuff that we have to deal with in the world. What has it been like for you having to kind of adjust and get into that stuff?
Well, you know, it's like my wife. I mean, she's got like millions of followers. She's been doing like comedy content for Vine and then TikTok, and so for me, like, she's like, I normally don't really mess with that stuff, and then she's sort of like, I don't know, she keeps pulling me into these crazy little videos that she makes, and so I'm kind of getting drug into it. And at first, I was like, oh man, this is so silly. And then I'm actually kind of having fun with it now. So
you're like, cool. Oh, I got 4 million new fans today.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just, you know, good, stupid fun. I mean, what else is there to do?
Yeah. Oh God. Especially during, you know, quarantine this bizarre time. What kind of stuff have you been doing to stay busy and, you know, or not stay busy? What have you been doing with yourself?
You know what? I've been working on music. It's kind of crazy because I just released a record like 10 days ago or something. Mm-hmm. So, but that record was done pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic time, I've just kind of like, I mean, I don't really leave the house that much as it is. Mm-hmm. So I've basically just been, you know, staying home and working on music. I almost have another record done in this time of the pandemic. I've just been kind of down in my studio, you know, tweaking out.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of the album?
The name of the album is called Andro, A-N-D-R-O.
Cool. And who'd you work with on this?
Oh, man, all kinds of people. Jesus.
Jesus is a very big get.
Yeah, Jesus is one of them. Yeah. We brought Prince back from the dead, and we did a remake of a song called When You Were Mine with him. Yeah, a lot of big names.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. That must have been incredible. Who was a favorite to work with on that?
Who's a favorite?
Is there anybody that you kind of get a little geeked out having them in the room with you?
That's hard to say, cuz literally, you know, all the people that I collaborated with were on my list of you know, people to work with. You know, over the years, I've accumulated a list of people that I really admire their work, or they've done something that's like, oh my God, listen to that, their voice is incredible, or whatever it is that attracted me to them, they go on a list. And on this new record, I've worked with a bunch of those, some known, some unknown, which is, so I can't really I can't really pick because they've all been really special, man. Or I wouldn't work with them, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What kind of not to get too into the weeds on this kind of stuff, but when it comes to production, like what type of gear are you using? Like, do you have any favorites? Anything specific that you're into?
Well, I have a full blown crazy studio here, so I mean, we use Pro Tools and Ableton for, you know, our DAWs, so our DAW software, mm-hmm. a ton of outboard gear, there's kind of everything here. it's like this, you know, mad scientist adult sandbox, you know, down in my studio. So pretty much playing with it all, really.
Yeah. How has that transition been from a hard rock, heavy metal band that you were in where everybody's playing an actual physical instrument to doing a lot more electronic stuff?
Well, I've been that transition happened like in 2000. Mm-hmm. I had quit Motley. I was just creatively really frustrated because I was really getting tired at that point of doing kind of the same thing over and over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did a record and started this project called Methods of Mayhem. And it was like my creative free for all. And I've been, you know, like sort of genre smashing, hybrid, stuff for God since 2000. So there's no real transition here. It's just some more of what I do, my man.
I love it. When it comes to music, what's something that you listen to? Is there a band or anything that you listen to that maybe people wouldn't know that it was like your
a guilty pleasure, maybe, yeah, or something?
Are you a huge Andrew Lloyd Webber fan? Is that what is happening? Is
well, I mean, it would surprise. I listen to so much music. I pretty much listen to everything. And what might surprise you is, well, I'm sorry. Let me take that back. I listen to everything except for country music. I'm just not. I just can't get my. What happened was my dad ruined it for me. He used to play it all the time, and I'd be like, God, yeah. I can't wait till. Until I'm old enough to turn this off. so he kind of ruined that for me. But you'd be surprised that, like, you know, when I listen to music, I literally listen to everything from Andrea Bocelli to, you know, you've got like some classical opera Jesus Christ. I'm trying to think of something super wide on the spectrum. I mean, I'll listen to some, you know, meditational stuff that is just, you know, these ethereal earth tones.
So Yanni.
Like
I was going to go Enya. Well, I was going to say Enya, you know.
Gregorian chants, right? And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Well, there's like Sigur Rós. Have you heard of that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. You will trip. You put that on and, like, good luck. Coming back.
So as someone who listens to a huge variety of music and a lot of stuff that's out there, who is it that you think we should know about that is not getting the recognition they deserve?
I like that question.
Yes, great question, Matt. That is.
Well, I'm sure you guys, I mean, if you haven't heard of them, you're living under a rock, but Post Malone is, I think, an incredible new artist. Did a song with him on my new record. He's amazing. God, who else? Are you familiar with him? Do you know?
Yes,
of course. Yeah,
Stephen Wynn is Post Malone for Halloween at Michael Jackson's family home a couple years ago.
One of the weirdest. Tommy, you want to hear a quick weird story?
I love quick weird stories.
I'm pretty sure we signed like a non-disclosure when we went to this party. But it's been a year. Yeah, I'm pretty sure no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
Matt
and never hold water anyway.
Yeah, they really don't. Matt and I got invited to Michael Jackson's family home in Encino, to his where his parents.
Yeah, it's where they recorded with the Jackson 5. Like, he recorded Thriller there in the studio.
Yeah, his homes, cousins yeah. still oh, well. Live there, yeah. and his kids sometimes stay there.
Yeah,
and he uh-huh. still has like that's like you walk into the you know. Yeah, well, so basically, we arrive at the house, and it's Paris Jackson,
Prince
oh. Jackson,
Blanket,
Tito, and they had like yeah. they're having this like small party, and then they're like, "Hey, guess what? There's a haunted house," and we're like, "Oh, cool! Where's the haunted house?" And they're like, "It's
the house.
It's the house," and we're like, We're going inside yeah. the actual house because it was all outdoors. yeah. We walk into yeah. Michael Jackson's family home yeah. and they still have like the pictures up on the wall of like Janet Jackson as a kid, like that kind of stuff. But you're like in their home and then there's like people jumping out being like, yeah. boo!
It's like there's like a zombie in Janet Jackson's closet jumping out to scare you.
Yeah, and you're like and this is already scary. Like you don't have to make yeah. it more.
Oh my God.
It was the fucking weirdest. And
if they had had someone dressed as like Thriller Michael Jackson,
they did.
Oh my God!
They did.
People yes. dressed up. Multiple people yeah. were there dressed up as Michael Jackson from different periods, and his yeah. kids were there on the walking tour of the haunted yeah. house, which is just their house.
Yeah.
And so you're walking around with like Prince Jackson and a fucking guy yeah. dressed up as Michael Jackson. It was like this is the most terrifying thing we've ever yeah. been to. It was so weird, man. It was so weird.
Yeah.
Dude, that sounds incredibly weird. And I know Paris pretty well. She's a sweetie, but I can just imagine that must have just been like, dude, this is fucking weird.
Yeah,
like what is going on right now?
I was talking to Gandalf.
Yeah, I was talking to Paris, and I didn't know it was Paris because her costume was so good. I just yeah. thought it was somebody dressed as Gandalf. And afterwards, somebody's like, hey, do you know who that was? And they're like, I'm like, no. Yeah, they're like, oh, that's Paris.
Full
like,
prosthetics, oh. giant yeah. beard, the whole bit.
Very nice.
So
could not be nicer. Her and Prince and Blanket, they were all just digressed. Yeah.
I love that about Hollywood is like weird parties and weird stuff. I'm sure
I was just thinking that would have been the craziest way in the world for Michael Jackson to reveal he's still alive. Popping out in a haunted house. Surprise!
So insane, dude. So insane. Yeah.
So what kind of crazy parties do you go to?
Or have you been to any that stir up anything where you're like, oh God, it's well at least it's not that one.
Are you talking about like Halloween ones?
Anything.
Just anything, any in particular. Yeah. But I mean, Halloween is always kind of a big crazy one.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously not this year, but like yeah. pre-pandemic, I'd love to go check out like. I think Rob Zombie did a couple of haunted houses, and there's always that big one at Universal.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Halloween Horror right. Nights that yeah. he would do. Yeah,
yeah, and I like Knott's Berry Farm. I think had Knott's Berry oh, yeah. Farm. Mm-hmm. Just stuff like that for Halloween. I've gone to people's houses, and it's just not you know. Not quite. It's not, you know, it's a house. It's not like a setup, scare the shit out of you, you know, sort of a theme party. But yeah. those are my favorite. The ones that are like really, really well done, where you're, you know, you're pushing your wife ahead of you because you're scared shitless.
Now.
You go first.
Now, I have to ask, you pulled off a feat that's very rare in music and especially in rock bands, and that you're in a legendary band of Motley Crue, and you're the drummer, yet somehow you're probably the most famous member of the band. And I can't think of any other band where that's the case, other than maybe Genesis when Phil Collins, but that wasn't until he took over singing. Like, how was that something that came about? I mean, like, you used to do these incredible stage shows with, like, an upside-down drum kit, and you're flipping around in the cage and all that stuff, and it's great to watch.
Yep.
I mean, was that something that happened early on in the run, where you started becoming sort of like a big face of the band right there with Vince and the other guys, or is that something that sort of just developed over time? How did that come about?
I think part of I think for me, you know, being a drummer and you're always in the back, I always wanted to be in the front. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So I'm like, how do I do this? I get it. I'll bolt my drums to a roller coaster. Kill it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always loved, you know, to, you know, entertain people and finding just absolutely fucking mad ways to pull it off. It's been that's fun for me. It's been a challenge. I honestly like I get off on it, you know, and seeing people going like, "Whoa, this dude's flipping around playing the drums upside down over my head! Like, what the fuck is wrong with him?"
It's one of those things that when you see you do it, you're so good at it that it makes it look easy, and you're like, "Why don't all drummers do this?" And then it's I'm sure many of them have died trying.
You know that is that's very perceptive of you, because the making it look easy is the hard part, because it fucking isn't. It is absolutely, it's insane, dude. You can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, you're strapped in, so you can't get that much oxygen. And playing upside down, just drums weren't meant to be played upside down. <dude. laughs>
It's not how they work. Yeah.
You know, you're basically fighting gravity the entire time. So the amount of strength and endurance it takes is crazy. Like, by the time I'm done with that, I think the last one I did was this giant roller coaster. And by the time it was a 9-minute drum solo, and by the time I was done with that, I'd get unstrapped from it, and Mick would start a guitar solo, and I would just literally just be attached to an oxygen bottle, just like just trying to get back to one, like unbelievably tore up. Shit just sits out of you, man. It's nuts.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, would like, as a band in your set list, would you intentionally schedule like a ballad to be the next song so you could get a breather?
Yeah, you know, a guitar solo, like, you go for a while.
15 minutes of Mick going, yeah.
Just go nuts, Mick.
Following song is probably a pretty mellow one. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now,
so,
you got...
You know what? Like, you got to love... The guys in my band are so cool. Like, you know, they always support the supporters. They're like, yeah, dude, fucking go crazy. You know, do whatever you want. Like, there's not a lot of guys, you know, in bands that would really even... kind of go for that, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, so that they've always been like, dude, whatever you come up with, just let it roll.
Yeah.
Hey, a quick thing I want to talk about, Mike Black. I think this is something that we really should talk about.
Yeah.
And it's a company,
yes,
that was founded in 1983 in Tokyo, Japan. Of course, I'm talking about the Zoom Corporation.
Zoom.
Now, if it wasn't for Zoom, and Matt knows this, we would not be able to do our show. They make the best audio equipment in the world. Which one are we using right now?
We're recording onto a Zoom LiveTrack L8 right now, and when we go do our live events at conventions and stuff, we often use the Zoom H6, and they're both just fantastic pieces of equipment. You plug your microphones in, you plug your headphones in, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, whether you're a classically trained pianist or a run-and-gun filmmaker or a podcaster like like us.
I do a ton of podcasts, and I can tell by listening when they're using a Zoom and when they're not.
Yeah,
it's the mark of excellence.
It really is. Go check out all their stuff over at zoom-na.com. That's zoom-na.com. Be professional, for God's sake. zoom-na.com. All right. Okay, let's get back to the show.
Now, you guys toured with a lot of great bands, and there's some legendary stories. I mean, there's obviously the movie The Dirt that came out based on the great book about your band.
So good.
But is the craziest person that you've ever known, is it Ozzy Osbourne? Like, it has to be, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's pretty much. I mean, well, you know what? I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of... there's been a lot of crazy people. We did some shows with Marilyn Manson. He's fucked up.
Really? Wait. You have to explain.
You know, but I think Ozzy just takes the cake because you know, you have to remember that that was like our first big tour we were ever on. And for us, we were witnessing a lot of this craziness for the first time. And we're like, well, dude, this guy's out of his fucking mind. So those images sort of definitely, you know, they win because, you know, the first time you see or do anything, it's like, oh my God, that's insane. But there's a lot of crazy people out there, guys.
any Marilyn Manson story, anything of working with him?
Well, other than just getting fucking completely oblivious drinking absinthe with him.
shit.
You know, it was pretty mellow actually, but just really weird. We just got really fucking really high. That shit's weird, man.
I would imagine it's a lot weirder with him.
Yeah, for sure. There's another good one with Slash from Guns N' Roses. I don't know if you've heard this. Well, we Motley actually, we took Guns N' Roses out before anybody even knew who the fuck those guys were.
Wow.
I remember them out there, you know, going on before us playing Welcome to the Jungle, and everybody in the audience just kind of looking around going, who are these guys? which was awesome. To the story about Slash, well, these guys, their first time on a big tour, right? And they're trying to out party us, mm-hmm. and we're like, that's not even going to be possible, guys.
It's not a competition.
So Slash sits at the bar with Nikki and I, and he's like, you know, he's going for it. He's gonna show us how to party. We're like, okay. So anyway, we're getting just fucking shit faced, and Slash throws up a couple of times. We're still drinking. Finally, he passes out. We stick him over our shoulders, Nikki and I. We take him back to his room and his keys in his pocket. We open the door to his room, lay him down, you know, on his back, on his bed. And then Nikki and I had a camera on me. Nikki pulls his pants down and puts his balls right on Slash's chin.
Oh my God.
And then I took a picture of it, and the next day that was his laminated all access pass. So from that day on, he never tried to out fucking drink us.
Oh my God, that is amazing.
That should lead off every AA meeting from here on out. you could save a lot of lives with that story.
Yeah, you picked the wrong guys to drink with, bro.
Holy shit.
Wow, that's so great.
Just know you can get away with it sometimes, but every once in a while you're going to go drinking with the wrong guys.
Oh, man.
Yeah, totally.
And you guys blew up incredibly fast, right? I think I've read or seen on like Behind the Music or something. Like, you guys were in clubs for like a year, and all of a sudden you were on like MTV, and it didn't take very long at all for you guys to hit. Is that right?
Yeah, it happened really quickly. That it was really fast. I mean, yes, it was.
And like, there's stories that you used to just like, you'd do like, say, the Viper Room or whatever, or the Roxy, and you'd tell the fans like, hey, come on, we're partying, and then everybody would go back to Vince's house and just like go and you'd hang out with the fans and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, we lived literally within stumbling distance of the Whiskey A Go-Go. So we would play the Whiskey A Go-Go, and Vince would literally, we all had an apartment literally mm-hmm. within walking distance. Vince would get on the mic after the show and fucking invite like 400 or 500 people up to our apartment that held. Our apartment held like 4 people.
Oh my God.
And so we would just rage up there. And of course, the cops would come every time, but we would do that a lot.
Wow. The noise complaints must have been outrageous at that place.
Oh my God, dude. They hated us there.
Your poor neighbors. I feel bad for them.
Yeah. It was brutal.
They're still traumatized.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You're still probably on probation from the noise violations back then, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude. That poor little apartment, the front door had been kicked in so many times from the cops.
Oh, my God.
It didn't work anymore. Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
You know, there was like a couple next door trying to deal with their marital issues, and they're like, every night.
Yeah.
It's not you, honey, but I'm fucking out of here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and they realize, oh, fuck. Fucking guys from Motley Crue. Yeah. Great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys had L.A. when L.A. was exciting and crazy. I mean, the town now, it's like I love Los Angeles more than any place in the world, but it must have been just so much fun, like such a fun, crazy place.
And it was okay to party at that time. You know?
Yeah. Oh, my God. No one cared. There was no, I mean, this is, you got to remember, this was a time where cell phones were just kind of coming around, but not really. Like,
yeah.
You could get away with murder. There was no, like, whatever you did didn't show up on Instagram until 7 seconds later. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, we got away literally with just the craziest shit that you could never fucking pull off now.
Because
there's no way.
Taking photos, they'd have to go to the photo mat and wait to get the prints back before it finally. It's a week later.
By the time they got it back, nobody cared anymore.
Yeah, exactly,
man. It was like we just ran it till the wheels fell off. Like we literally, and those times will never happen again, man. It's funny because I've talked to a lot of younger people who have seen the movie The Dirt, the Motley movie, and they're all so envious. They're like, God, was it really like that then? Like, we'll never get to experience that. Fuck, that must have been amazing. And I'm like, yeah, it was insane. And yeah, you won't get to ever experience that because it was just fucking mayhem.
Yeah.
Wow, man!
That's
so amazing.
If only I wasn't eight.
And the fact that we're all still alive.
Seriously, I mean, that's extraordinary.
How's that possible?
Did you get when you became rock stars? They get a serum of Keith Richards' blood and inject that into you, and it just immunizes you against everything or something? Yeah.
What was that? I'm sorry.
I was saying, do they take a serum of Keith Richards' blood and inject it into you to immunize you against all the partying you're going to do when you become a rock star? Is that how it works?
Yeah, man. I have no idea that. I don't know how, man. Yeah, that guy's still alive too.
Certain people.
I don't know. We got maybe. I don't know. Maybe somebody gave us some crazy, party vaccine that just allowed us to just do anything and everything and not die.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That'll be hilarious if we find out that you're the cure to COVID.
Oh, my God, dude.
The best. I mean, that's a perfect place to bring this to a close. Andro is out now. That's your album,
and
you should everyone should be downloading it and checking it out immediately. This was so cool, and there's so much more that we want to be able to talk to you about, but this is just extraordinary getting a chance to do this with us, man.
Well, that's cool. Thanks for having me. And let's do it again. Let's get together and talk some shit.
Yeah,
absolutely. When we do our show live at the Hollywood Improv when the world is not on fire, when we do that, maybe if you're down, we'll invite you back and have you on for the big live show in front of 200, 300 people here at the Improv.
Dude, that'd be rad. Let's do it.
I'm sure that's a crowd size that impresses Tommy Lee.
I know. I was saying it. I was just like.
Tommy Lee, also to sweeten the deal, I sometimes run a lemonade stand that attracts up to 8 people at a time. So,
you know what? Listen, some of those some of those smaller places are really, 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 yeah. really fun. And
the most
probably,
fun.
Yeah. So, some of them more fun than a stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Afterwards, that nice, you know, intimate feel.
And afterwards, you can invite the whole audience back to your house for a party.
Exactly, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, thank you, Tommy. Thanks so much for doing the show. And send our best to your lovely wife. She's such a wonderful person. So, and thanks again for doing this, man. So cool.
Thanks, guys. You guys take care, man. Be safe and all that stuff. And you, whatever you do, don't let your meat loaf.
Thanks, Tommy.
All right, buddy.
Bye. Bye.
See you guys.
Bye.
Hey, real quick before we continue the show, I want to talk about a third-generation family-run business that I am very proud to be working with. Sennheiser is the number one, number top tier microphone company in the world. And we are so lucky that we are now recording our show using Sennheiser microphones and their headphones. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
We're talking into Sennheiser MD42 microphones and using Sennheiser HD25 headphones, and these sound amazing.
I mean, listen to Mike Black's voice.
Listen to the rich and sumptuous soundscape that comes out of my voice.
Oh.
Every time I speak into a Sennheiser.
Absolutely. Go check out their microphones and their sound equipment over at Sennheiser.com. All right, let's get back to the show. I don't even know how to talk about this. This was so cool.
Yeah.
That's how you want an interview like that to go. That was so much fun, and he was so cool, and he was exactly what you wanted him to be to talk to. You know?
Will you be able to look at a photo of Slash again without seeing Mick Mars' balls on his face?
Never again. Never again. No, that's so cool. And like
the thing is, you won't even know you're looking at it. You'll just think, man, that guy's got a lot of pubes.
Oh my God.
Like, there's no way you'll
know.
True.
With Slash. You know? Yeah. Like, with Slash.
Why does he have a top hat on his
on
junk?
His balls.
Yeah. It was nice that he was talking about, like, that, you know, that we got him chatting about Ozzy and about Marilyn Manson and about other artists and stuff like that, and some of the run-ins and things. Because that's the kind of stuff that, like, I think
right,
we all
want. Right, and it wasn't
want.
All, like, shit-talking. It was, like, fun.
No,
cool.
They're all friends.
He's so nice. Yeah. He's so nice. And it is crazy to think that he is alive and that they're all alive.
Yeah. Oh, the stuff that band did is legendary.
How is that possible?
It's there's a great episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns goes to the doctor, right? Mm-hmm. And he complains about something, and the doctor comes out. He says, "Mr. Burns, you have everything, but it's perfectly balanced, so if I cure one thing, you're going to die. You just have to calve everything, and it balances out your system." I think maybe that's sort of what goes on, where they did everything. Yeah. In the right proportion somehow, miraculously, and then it's just, now they're fine.
Yeah, when you think about it, of like, with COVID, and, like, you know, everybody is so afraid. Like, I hung out with a lady the other day, and she was so afraid of. We went out for coffee, and she was so afraid. I don't know no ladies. She was so it's funny. So afraid of COVID that when we were walking down the street, she kept ducking away from people and jumping physically, jumping like she was playing football. Like, she was carrying not having COVID and was, like, trying to duck away
don't
from
fumble.
People,
doing the Heisman on people.
No, sir, no, and then, like, everyone was wearing a mask. Every single person. And I was like, I don't think this is how you know.
It is funny the degree you see of different people, you know, that like, some people are just pretty casual about it by now. They're like, if I haven't gotten it, I'm not going to get it.
Yeah, but it's like Tommy Lee.
And other
Lee,
people are like spraying themselves down like they're in Gattaca or something. You know, they're just going nuts.
Yeah, but like the shit that Tommy Lee managed to bypass in his life is way worse than COVID.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I
yeah.
mean, it's by a lot, you know?
By
well, it's like, I mean, because Motley Crue hit right when like the AIDS crisis was about to start. And it's like they were out there partying with everyone. And it's like,
and doing drugs.
Yeah, and the drugs they were doing. That
if you're inviting entire audiences back to your place to party, you're catching something. And there's no way.
And it's an era when like the drugs that were being done had like sort of an evolutionary leap in terms of what they were.
Right.
You know, because it was like, you know, like people did weed and quaaludes in the 70s, and then the 80s like cocaine, heroin kicking in.
Yeah, a lot of nuclear scientists were out of work, so they were like, hey, let's make cocaine better.
Let's make LSD way stronger.
And he
made it through all of it, and he's like, so like, you know how like sometimes we've had people on the show that like have done drugs or done stuff in the past and
can't remember anything,
and they can't remember anything, and they're like what, like that guy that we had from the movies that was a giant,
you know, those people who can't remember anything.
Shut the fuck up. Sometimes you have people like that on the show and you're just like, and it just doesn't work, and, and this guy, it's like his stories were fucking crystal clear.
He seems like he shouldn't remember all the stuff that he remembers, but he remembers all of it.
God bless him.
I thought it was great, the thing about it, like how he listens to all music except country, and he was like, yeah, my dad ruined it for me. The exact same thing happened to me with Monty Python, where like a lot of my friends as kids quoted them so much and so badly
that I was like, nope.
I can't do it anymore.
But now as an adult.
Now as an adult, I love them because there's been enough distance. But
that sort of happened. I burned out Motown for myself when I was like in junior high. I listened to nothing but K-Earth. That was the station I listened to.
Was it?
Back when it was like the Motown station when I was in junior high.
The Motown station. That,
I mean, now it's weird. They play like Guns N' Roses on there now, which is crazy because they were new when I was listening to K-Earth. But I mean, I heard like they would play like the top 40 Motown songs in a loop, and that was it, and like that was their rotation. So I heard every single one of them, you know, like the Chandrels and all these bands from the 50s. And you're like, oh, that's cool. And then I just, I'm like, I'm done. I've heard them all enough.
Yeah,
you know.
Just so our audience knows, Matt graduated from high school in 1956.
Yes.
So that's the reason. That's why he was listening to Motown.
He's telling all the other kids about the Coasters, the Pips, the Drifters.
Barry Gordy's got this new sound. It's
Barry
great.
Gordy's got a new sound. It's so funny. That's so funny. All I listened to in high school was grunge music. That was all I listened to. Junior high and high school. And, Pearl Jam, Blind Melon, Stone Temple Pilots. That's all a hard pass for me.
Oh,
God, I know. And now I re-listen to a lot of it.
By the way, I've said this many times, and I will say it again till my dying day. I do sincerely believe that the best 90s band is the Spin Doctors.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow.
You're out on a limb on that one. That's...
I don't care what anybody says. I will take them over Nirvana. I'll take them over Pearl Jam. I'll take them over Soundgarden. I'll take them over all those bands.
That lead singer was everything I didn't like about people in high school. I was like, he's just a dirty non-hippie hippie. Yeah. Like, he's like a corporate hippie. Like, they sold out immediately. Like, the day they got their album deal, they're like, let's go to Japan and sell Pepsi.
I will take it every time. I don't know.
We have to get them on the show. We got so close that time.
Yeah, they were in like Santa Barbara. We were going to drive up and record with them in person.
They asked us to come up and interview
the
them
Spin
backstage.
Doctors?
Yeah.
I'll pass.
They were like,
you guys...
if you want to come at baby. they were in like Santa Barbara.
I have a pocket
on
full of
tour.
Vomit.
Oh, come on.
And my second favorite 90s band, the Presidents of the United States.
I was going to say that.
They're my second favorite.
I was going to say that your second favorite band would almost have to be
the Presidents of the United States.
Can I
make a guess on number three? Is it CNC Music Factory?
No, I mean, I to me, they're more of an 80s band. But
okay, yeah.
Because I was still in high school when they came out.
Yeah.
Which is like, by the way, you watch the new Borat movie. At the end, in the closing credits, they're playing a cover of a CNC Music Factory song. And I'm like, why not just get CNC Music Factory? It's like a dollar to buy the rights
anything.
Now. Like,
you could get them to re-record
it. They'll do
right?
it. Yeah.
The whole movie is covers. The music in the movie is like covers of like weird covers.
Yeah.
I used
to drive around. Well, my friend Demosthenes would drive around in his truck with me, and we would blast CNC Music Factory when we were seniors in high school. That's a memory I will have for the rest of my life.
So I was right that you're a fan.
I did enjoy them at the time, and then you found out that the woman in the videos was not actually the woman singing. It was when the whole Millie Vanilli Spinelli thing came out. They had that going on.
Was that true? I didn't know that.
That woman is actually...
What about the guy? The guy who wasn't Vin Diesel with
the one who sort of rapped? I think it was him.
The bodybuilder that sort of
like,
rapped.
Yeah, because anybody could do that. You know?
Yeah, his part was...
It was awesome. Anybody rap now. It doesn't matter who. Yeah. Just anybody rap. That's...
What about Digital Underground? Were you a fan of...
Yeah. Technotronic I used to like back in the day.
I thought it was kind of cool that like the main guy... had made up the character of Humpty.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
And was like there and not there.
Well, Digital Underground is where Tupac got his start.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's in their videos.
It's Martha Wash.
Yeah.
Martha Wash is the woman.
Really talented singer. Yeah. Who sang, but she's not in the videos.
Everybody dance now. Yeah, that was. She is the voice of so many bands. The Weather Girls. And CNC Music Factory, but the list of songs that she actually is a part of,
huge.
It's insane.
She's one of those like session musicians they bring in when they're like, we need somebody really talented to do this part, and like she's one of the ones they call it.
Yeah,
to sing
and
those
for
parts.
A very, very long time, she was the one that was getting screwed over where they weren't crediting her again and again and again.
Wow.
She ended up suing and winning.
Good.
In a landmark like suit. We should have her on the show.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Did you guys see that documentary?
I'll call her back.
I think it was.
Call her back?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm totally kidding. I was waiting for you to say that. Yeah. I'll call her back. Well, you know, we went out that
Fine,
one time.
Fine, we'll call her back.
Was, you know.
She's the one you had coffee with who was avoiding COVID.
She was
Did you guys see that 15 Feet from Stardom?
Great movie. Yeah. I mean, it was great seeing those women at the Oscars, too. Like, you know, and how they were there. But no, it's, you know, lots of talented people. I mean, you know, my favorite all-time band, Tower of Power, you've heard on songs from all kinds of people because that horn section is one of those groups where they just bring them in all the time. Like, they played on recordings for, like, hundreds of different musicians. Like, they just bring them in.
Yeah. I remember going with you to a Tower of Power concert.
Yes.
Right? Where they
At
did the fair. Is that
No,
them?
That's not.
I
no.
get Tower of Power confused.
Wait, what was their big song? What was their big...
Tower of Power's biggest song is probably... What is Hip is probably the big one. That one's played...
Who did the... Ba, 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 da, ba, da, ba, ba.
Tequila you're talking about?
Who did Tequila?
That's not them.
It's someone else.
That's someone else.
Yeah, it's all the same. I'm just kidding.
I always thought Tower of Power was those bodybuilders that ripped phone books in half with Jesus. They would go to school.
They go to your school, rip a phone book, and they're like,
believe in Jesus!
I think that's what they were called.
You might be right. I think you might be right.
I'm going to karate chop Edgar, and he's going to take it because he loves Jesus. and let that be a lesson to you kids, and stay off drugs.
How is that a lesson?
They had a lot going on in that show.
They really were stretching it.
They were really packing it all in there.
Yeah. That's...
And this episode is dedicated to the memory of Rocco Prestia, former bass player of Tower Power, who died a couple weeks ago.
Way to bring it down.
Nice job. Had to bring it back to Tower Power, didn't
Yes,
you?
I did.
Just had to bring it back.
Yes, I did.
He's ripping Bible.
I haven't talked about Star Trek in this episode.
Hey!
So that's
he's ripping Bibles for the Lord now. He's directly.
My God. That's so funny.
He actually, I met him at a Mexican restaurant in the Valley after doing an open mic in Canoga Park with a bunch of comics.
Met who?
Rocco Prestia.
Oh.
And see, I was like a year into stand-up. We're sitting around, and I think Renee Sandoval was there.
Meeting big celebrities.
Renee Sandoval was there. And it,
big celebrities I turned like to, Rocco Prestia?
I turned to the other comics, so I'm like, hey, isn't that Rocco Prestia at the bar? And their response was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
And, I'm like, and I was like, the bass player for Tower of Power. And they're like, what the fuck
is
a Tower of Power?
About?
Like, isn't that what the onion rings are called here? Tower of Power? I was like, no. It's a great band. It's like over, I ask him, like, are you Rocco Presti? And he's like, who wants to know? Because he thought I was like surfing him with a lawsuit
or something, right?
Oh, and I'm like, I'm just a fan. I'm like a huge fan. And he's like, oh, okay, thank you. And he came over and talked to us at the table. It was very nice. Yeah. And then we told him that we do a comedy show, and he came to the show.
Of course he did. What else
like,
is he going to do?
He was so nice.
I was told I would get complimentary nachos.
Like, they tour all the time. That band has toured like 40 weeks a year for 50 years. So.
I did take a cab to get here, so it ran about $17.
And that was like right before Steven started doing stand-up, so it was right around that time. So
Yes. Yeah. I missed
You missed out on Rocco Prestia.
You missed out on Rocco Prestia.
You never met Rerun, Fred Rerun Barry. You didn't meet Rocco Prestia.
No, Rerun would be cool. Rerun would be worth meeting.
Yeah.
As opposed to Rocco Prestia.
I met him, and then he died like 2 months later. Rerun.
Way to go. You killed I killed him.
Killed Fred Rerun Barry.
I did.
Now, wait, he became a politician,
took one look
right?
at your act. It was like, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, Rerun
died. And then just dead.
Rerun died after...
I know. I'm so sorry.
Rerun died after 2 months. It took me 17 years to kill Rocco. That's how it worked.
I love that he just says any black catchphrase from the 70s. Dynamite!
No, that's my older brother, Jimmy... Walker.
Jimmy Walker.
Yeah.
Oh. Didn't he used to show up at the Canoga Park bowling alley? Are you sure?
No.
He wasn't around?
Sure. Dante used to end his act by saying, I'm Jimmy Walker.
Oh,
is that what you're thinking of?
Yes. There we go.
That so it was like sense. He was there.
It's the same thing.
It's about the same thing. Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy.
Now, wait. Rerun. Mm-hmm. He was a politician.
No.
No.
That's Gopher from the Love Boat.
Okay. So
the '70s
was a big
mishmash for you guys.
Mishmash for everybody, I think.
But yeah. Jimmy Walker, they built a door at the Comedy Store for him specifically because he was that famous.
Rerun hosted the Lily Tomlin show.
I don't know.
No, the joke was that Lily Tomlin hosted.
If you are a fan of the Love Boat, you can listen to our episode with Geraldine Saunders.
That's true.
The late Geraldine Saunders, who created the Love Boat.
We killed her, too.
We killed her. She came on.
I killed Geraldine Saunders. That's my confession.
You killed Geraldine Saunders. Oh, what you're such a terrible person for doing that.
Who else have we met that has died? I don't know.
All the people that died.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. That is
we haven't killed that many of our guests.
Only Fred Willard.
Oh yeah, Fred Willard. Yeah.
Rest his soul.
God rest his soul.
But they've all been great. That's the thing.
He was a tremendous guest.
Fantastic.
That's probably my favorite of everybody.
Yeah.
Because it was just such
That was the one that especially like at the improv all the comedians were starstruck. There was not a comedian in the place. I don't care what level they were at.
Yeah.
Everyone was happy to meet him and like a little impressed that he was there, you know.
It took our show over there's been a few guests that took our show over the top, like on where we went, oh God, we've hit a new level. Like our first Oscar winner was like a big thing.
Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Our first Oscar winner was DJ Paul.
Yep, from 3-6 Mafia. When we had Doug Jones on the show, that was one that we had tried to have Doug Jones for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Gin Blossoms was another one where like we tried to get them forever. And I was listening to the radio the other day and Hey Jealousy was playing and I was like, I still can't believe that we got them to do Hey Jealousy at the fucking
And you
improv.
Can hear them play it live on our podcast.
Yeah.
Lisa Loeb was another one.
Yeah.
That was a huge... That was the one where you turned to me, Mike, on stage, and you went, I can't believe this is actually happening.
Yeah. Like, we're behind her while she's singing her biggest hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a big...
We're her backup singers.
Yeah. There's been a couple of like big weird moments.
Yeah, where's our documentary? 15 feet from stardom. Come on. 15, 12 feet from stardom.
3 feet
closer.
From stardom. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Well, God willing, we'll get a billboard someday. Yeah. And
we'll get Tommy Lee out. He'll do something live, and then we'll do it.
Yeah, we'll keep doing fun, weird stuff. I hate to wrap this up because I love looking at the two of you.
You haven't seen us
bastards.
In a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been
wonderful.
We are pretty great.
It's been wonderful. Yeah. It's been so nice not having to see each other.
Yes.
All right. Well, Mike, where can people find you on the interweb?
At Mike Black Attack. For pretty much everything.
All right. What about you, Mr. Walker? Where can people find you?
You can find links to everything at funnymat.com. And if you want to try to tell me that somehow Temple of the Dog is better than any of my favorite 90s bands, you can do that at mattwalkersucks.com.
Yes. And they may have been better. No. Hunger Strike is a great song.
No. Spin Doctors. No.
I'm going hungry.
No.
I'm going hungry.
As if either of you have ever gone hungry.
Oh, fuck you, you bastard.
That's why we like the song.
Yeah, exactly.
took us to a different place.
Jerry's Deli is closing. Did you hear that? Jerry's Deli's closing?
Studio yes. City?
Again?
Gone forever.
Yeah.
Gonna be.
Well, yeah. I mean, towards the end there, they weren't.
What really will ever happen to that waiter that worked there that was the worst waiter in history?
Of all time.
Yeah.
The one
off to Arby's with you, sir.
Yeah.
They also had a really good waiter, that one really weird guy.
I think we're talking about the same person.
I think you are, actually. I think you're talking about the
waiter.
Same guy.
Yeah, tall,
that's the one
skinny,
Glickman hates.
Yeah. Guy? Yeah. Yeah, can't stand that guy.
He's like your best friend.
Guys, you can
where
always
else,
get...
Where else can you buy a $45 cheeseburger?
Huh? Oh, man.
Where can you do that
We
now?
Need to bring him a fruit basket or something.
Arts Deli. That's where you can yes. do that. You can always get me at Stephen Glickman, S-T-E-P-H-E-N Glickman on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Don't forget to subscribe to the Nighttime Show...
Tell your friends.
...podcast. Tell your friends. Share it. We have fun.
Yeah. It's a good time.
Yeah. Look at us doing
things. You can be like all hipster about it. Like, you liked us before we were big... Because we're not Joe Rogan big yet, and we will be someday.
Oh, yeah.
But then you can tell your friends you were there when we were...
Right before.
Just us.
Yeah, we'll be so big that we will book Alex Jones on the podcast, and then we won't actually record any of it.
Yeah.
Because he's garbage. Yeah. Thanks for listening to the show, guys. We love you. You guys are the best.
Bye! Oh!